The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is Craig Rosen, our pal.
Hello.
Hey. First things first. Actually, this is going to take a while.
Distracting.
I don't have...
The slicey thing?
I have my nails. Here we go. The slicey thing.
Do you mean
a knife?
Yeah.
No, isn't there a special thing for champagne that hacks it off?
Might be for wine.
Well, okay. So here we go. It's New Year's.
Okay, don't point that at anybody.
Yeah, you'll take an eye out.
I have poker. All right, here we go.
Pop.
Hey!
Oh, right in the eye.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
Ouch. Wow, those are some bubbles.
I love the sound effects.
Wow, that's
it's heavy. Like almost legitimate.
That's heavy.
All right, here's to the past and here's to the future. 2023.
Okay.
To 2023.
Wow. 2023.
Wow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks,
Craig.
Yeah, 2023. Really looking forward to it. The big 6-0 coming quick.
Oh, yikes. Really?
Yikes, how'd that happen?
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
He's going to live. He's going to live his life, hopefully.
We'll see. March 16th. Right about the last time I was here.
Right.
Right. Oh,
March 14th
all right.
being the day that you went out to dinner.
And the last time I was here was 3/13/19. Is that possible?
20.
20?
Yeah, it was 20.
All right.
I know. It seems like a blur. It was 5 years ago.
Yeah, everything's 5 years ago. Yeah.
It was at the start of the pandemic.
All right. So what are we doing? We have a podcast here.
We're
celebrating anniversaries. Or not anniversaries, looking back as Craig is looking back at 60 whole years. What albums came out in 63?
63?
Like the Beatles, probably.
That was even before.
What was the number one song or
it
album? You are the number one guy. What's the number?
The number one album is a terrible one. The songs that I sang on the Jackie Gleason show, it's that guy, I can't remember his name, but it's a horrible album and it's like a horrible cover. It's just everything about it is wrong.
It's just...
It's so disappointing.
But it was number one.
You're the end of the rainbow, my pot of gold. You're daddy's little girl, to heaven to hold.
Is it Frank Fontaine?
I think that was
his name.
I think that's right.
I can't remember anything, so... Songs I sing on the Jackie Gleason show, Frank Fontaine. And look at this cover.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Well, that is indicative of the time, maybe?
See what I mean? Everything was wrong about
it. Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
So you weren't born in late December?
No, I wasn't.
All right, so the number, as I look on Wikipedia, which never lies, that's as I always say, you were born
March 16th,
do you know the song that was number one?
No, I'm sure I looked at it, but I don't remember.
Well, let's think about December 1963.
Okay. Frankie Valli.
Okay,
Frankie
Valli. And his band.
The Four Seasons.
Right.
Okay.
So can you, wouldn't do this like an Egyptian, you would do this like someone else.
Walking like a man.
Walk like a man.
Walk like a man.
Walk like a man, walk like a man,
finally, the last podcast episode, when Craig was on here, he could not, you guys didn't get any of my hints.
Yeah. Okay.
And now I think I might be getting better at this.
That's okay. And that the whole Frankie Valli thing sort of brings us to something semi-current. That song Begging by Skin.
I'm begging.
Yeah, which is a Frankie Valli cover.
Yeah.
I'm begging, begging you to put your loving hand out, baby. I'm begging, begging you to put your loving hand out, darling. Riding high when I was king, I played it hard and fast, but everything I walked away. Want me then, but easy come and easy go, and it would end. So anytime I bleed, you let me go. Yeah, anytime I feel, you got me, no. Anytime I see, you let me know. But the plan and see, just let me go. I'm on my knees when I'm begging, cause I don't wanna lose you. Hey, yeah.
I love that song.
Oh.
And I am pronouncing the band name right? Is it just Maneskin?
Boy,
I'm not sure.
That's how I pronounce it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But it does have like one of those, not like an umlaut. It's got another weird.
Maneskin.
Cosa vuol dire Maneskin?
I caught up earlier with the winners, the Italian band Maneskin, as they prepared to
fly back to Rome. I can say with all 100% confidence that Maneskin is my favorite Italian band.
Did they win Best New Artist?
I think they're nominated. Yeah. Sometimes it takes a while. I love that band, though. Yeah,
well, not as much as you love Wet Leg, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
I read.
I love that.
Wait, hold on. Let me get this quote. Craig Rosen put out his top 10 list.
What kind of BS? Yeah. Oh, well.
Yahoo
put it out. They asked me to submit one because I used to work there. So, yeah.
And Craig Rosen proclaimed Rianne and Hester the most exciting rock duo since the White Stripes. Did you indeed say that?
I didn't say it, but I wrote it.
Oh, okay.
But you just said it.
Can we hear you say that?
Does that sound bad? They present as a duo.
Yeah.
Like after I read that on Lindsay's, the intro, I'm like, wow, are they really a duo?
Yeah.
They have people that play with
them. I think
them.
Of them as a duo. You know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then I stand by that. 100%.
Sure. Tears for Fears also on your top 10 list.
Let's review. So far, Maneskin's my favorite Italian band. Wet Leg's the most exciting duo since the White Stripes.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah.
Craig, superlative, Rosen. The king of the superlatives.
Yes.
Are you going to go down his whole list? After Wet Leg?
Well, no.
You've gone from number 10. Isn't that your way?
No. Well, we're talking duos. So you did put Tears for Fears in your top 10. And did you see them this year? Didn't they play?
I did not. I wanted to. There was something else going on that night.
But you enjoyed their album, which was very good.
Yes. Yeah, I enjoyed their album. Well, which often if I'm interviewing an artist or working on a piece about them, I tend to listen to that record a lot. So...
Yeah,
that was one of them. I did talk to Tears for Fears. I did something on them.
Yeah, musicians are good salespeople too. I mean, that's why they do interviews. They're selling their wares. There's a few that are pretty good at it, especially if you're listening to something and then you talk further with that actual artist. That creates kind of a bond between the album and the artist and yourself.
And even more so, I mean, in this day and age of streaming and a million things coming at you, all at once, I find that I don't listen to, maybe I shouldn't admit this, but I don't listen to that many albums anymore, sadly. I tend to listen to singles, tracks, make playlists. And when I do listen to albums, it's when I'm going to interview somebody. And then I'm sort of forced to spend time with it so I could come up with some questions and act like I'm semi-intelligent and pretend that I've, actually studied their work and know what I'm talking about. I have a love-hate relationship with top 10 lists. You know, the records that I really like. You know, there's a balance, but I stand by my list, I think. I think it's...
So you have a love-hate relationship with top 10 lists, meaning like any or those that you're asked to make?
Probably any.
Yeah. I mean,
I wonder, the thought that you put into your own, are other people putting the same thought into theirs? And what are they, like you said, is it, you know, what you think you should like, what you think other people like?
I think there's some of that goes on with some people. I mean, I don't know. I try to be honest, but it could change at any moment. And it's like, oh, you know, you're like racking your brain. Well, should I put this on or that? When I start, do I even have 10 albums? And then I end up with like 30. And
you did like Beyonce's new album.
Yes, I did. And it's funny, most of the, can I see this?
Please. Yeah. Go ahead. Look at your list.
Most of the, like the newer stuff is stuff that I play in my spin class. I play Beyonce in here.
Oh, is that right?
And The Weeknd. And Salt is a great record that actually I knew of them, but my daughter turned me on to this latest album, which is really diverse and great.
I have witnessed your great fall, so tired but you're warm, so you don't feel so small. God has a greater plan. Don't put your faith in man, and one day you will land. How do you fight for love when the world is broken? You, I know the times are rough. When you don't keep looking up, how do you fight for love?
The two outliers.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, please.
My number.
Which is, one of them was not a surprise.
Do you want to count them down or count them up, or should we just skip around?
What number one was Wet Leg.
Yeah, and two was, do we want to go from the bottom?
All right. You do okay. Casey Kasem style.
All right.
Look into the camera.
Number 10.
Casey. Yeah. I love Casey. I got to talk to Casey. I grew up listening to Casey.
We all did.
I remember eating waffles and listening to American Top 40. We had a waffle machine or a press or whatever. Okay. Waffle maker. Yeah. Okay. Number 10. It's a wild card here. Robert Gordon and Chris Bedding, Hellified.
Well, there's only one day left until tomorrow. That's the day you go walking right out of my life for good. Wearing something old, baby, something new. Something borrowed, honey, I'll be blue. I've only got one day left until tomorrow.
And Robert Gordon passed away earlier this year, so, but this was recorded in 98, and this is one of those ones, the assignment things, I got to talk to Chris Bedding.
Okay.
He was an amazing guy. I mean, really got into some of his music, solo music. He's quite a career and good stuff.
Who was he in a band? I'm not familiar with.
He played with Brian Ferry. He played with Roxy Music. He produced the Sex Pistols demos.
Okay.
And there was a rumor that he actually did the guitar parts, but I think that rumor is false. I didn't ask him about that. Anyway, Robert Gordon, Chris Bedding, we talked about that. Robert Gordon was a rockabilly guy. And
from the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, very early on, you know, even before Stray Cats. I think the Stray Cats started to take off after when they were on the road with the second album. But yeah, he's real good.
Yeah, he had the pompadour. I remember. Yeah, it's a good look.
And he was in this, I watched the, I can't remember the name of it. He is in some really cheesy bad biker movie directed by the woman that did the Hurt Locker name.
Oh, Catherine Bigelow?
Yeah, I think it was her first. Director credit.
Okay.
Good with the facts.
Yeah. Well, vague facts. I
know.
I know the things, and then I can't remember anything. Yeah. But anyway, okay. We talked about Salt, The Weeknd. Weeknd, very catchy, like good tunes. Spinning some of them. Don FM concept.
Oh, and that's
album.
Why Weeknd would be a good is a good spinning.
Oh yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Harry Styles, Tears for Fears, Beyonce.
These are all spinning
Break
songs.
Nice. The Smile, they're great. Tom York is great. Johnny Greenwood's great. I did not see them live though. And number three, the predictable thing, the All Roads Lead to REM. It's Luke Haynes and Peter Buck. All the Kids Are Super Bummed Out. And that's a COVID-inspired album because Peter's neighbor is a nurse or something, and they had a casual conversation about COVID.
And that was
the medical professional said to Peter, all the kids are super bummed out because they're not going to school and everything. So, and who could forget the opening track, The British Army on LSD.
Advance to the forest, to the redwood trees. Situation vacant, staring at the leaves. My aim is true, my mind is free. Let the prisoners go, man, set them free. With my bare hands I chop down this tree. The British Army on LSD.
Luke Haynes is really great. He's very funny, very dry. He's got a good voice. He was in the band called The Auteurs.
And it's Peter Buck. You just asked what made it so great.
Yeah, Peter Buck.
Well,
yeah,
I understand, but Pete Buck, you know, he's a great guitarist, but, you know, he needs...
It's definitely Luke. And, I mean, Peter did that other stuff with that other guy who we don't like anymore. Because he turned
into... The anti-vaxxer.
He turned into an anti-vax freak.
That other stuff with that other guy.
Yeah.
So unfortunate, Joseph Arthur, you bum me out to no end. So it's actually a 2-record set, but it's, I don't own the physical, but it's 17 songs, an hour and 8 minutes. I like it.
That's what I mean for one
enough
album.
To make, get in your top 10.
Yeah, it's double vinyl. Yeah, if you buy the vinyl. But I didn't buy it.
Spoon, yeah.
What can you say? They're so great.
I saw them 3 times in 3 different cities this year.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
You're following them around.
That's incredible.
I saw them in Cancun with for that Wilco Fest.
Wow.
And that was amazing. Then like another month later, I saw them at the Echo here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that was the KCSN show. Right?
Yeah, and then in the summer, I went to the Bottle Rock Fest, and they played there. So I was up in Napa and got to see Spoon.
You're such a modern guy.
It's like Holly and Bono. You know, Holly travels all over the place. Yeah, I travel all over to see Spoon.
Because the band that any guess what the band is that I saw twice this year? Only one that I saw twice. That puts me firmly in the 80s.
Is there?
You were with me once.
Okay, so Psych Furs.
No.
Was it? Oh, no, not PIL. Let's see. Blondie didn't. No,
not,
let's see.
Not twice this
missing
year.
Missing Person. I saw Missing Persons twice this year.
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
I saw Psych Furs twice this year.
Okay. What was the second time? Did you?
Holly and I went to the Belasco and saw it.
Oh, wow. I'm a little jealous.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen them a million times, but I love them.
Yeah, that was fun.
One of my favorites.
And let's see. So now I'm trying to think of. It's a band we saw, Cruel World?
Of course.
Okay.
Has to be.
Now I'm going through the list.
Since I don't go to many shows. Vaguely tied into something.
It wasn't Morrissey.
No. Vaguely, there's a connection to some recent news event, sad news event.
Oh, a passed away.
Yes.
Let's see. Who?
Specials?
Well, you're very close.
Oh,
who is the English Beat?
The English Beat. Oh, you saw them twice this year.
Yes, I saw them recently. I saw them at the Canyon Club in Agora.
Well, we saw Dave Wakeling at
Yes. I did see English Beat twice.
Wow.
Oh,
he is great,
amazing.
And they do sound great. It's not unfortunate, but I have to respect his mourning. But I got a potential assignment having Dave Wakeling share his remembrances of Terry Hall, and you know, my editor at Tidal asked me, the other streaming service which I also support, you know, I was trying to get in touch with Dave, so I like called friends, emailed people, and it was very funny. There's this one guy that came up to me at the show at the Canyon Club, who I only vaguely know. I'm Facebook friends with him, and apparently we went to the same junior high, and we have a mutual friend. I was getting desperate trying to get in touch with Dave Wakeling. I tried the agent, tried his old U.S. publicist, tried his webmaster.
That's quite a website. AOL website.
Tried the U.K. publicist, and then I just threw it out there to this guy that I know. He's very into ska and the Beat, and I'm like, hey, you don't know how to get in touch with Dave Wakeling, do you? And He gave me his number.
Oh, okay. Did you text him immediately?
I did text
him. It's an 818 number, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. No. I thought he was, I was pretty sure he's a Valley resident.
He is a Valley.
I think Pacific Palisades.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but that's, I think he did used to live in the Valley. Okay. Yes, he said he's in the Palisades.
We've been stating that he lives in the Valley this whole time, so we're going to stick with that story. Yeah.
But
did you get a hold of him?
You know, I wasn't sure it was his number, so I didn't address it to him. I just said, "Hi, I'm trying to get in touch with Dave Wakeling, you know, to blah, blah, blah." And he said, "Sorry, I'm mourning, so I'm not available."
Oh, okay.
You know, which was, you know, okay, I respect
legit.
That, you know.
Yeah.
So I just said, you know, hey, you know, if you feel like talking, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, you know, I'd like to do it. And I said, "You're the only band that I've seen twice this year. Keep up the good work."
Yes.
I tried to butter him up. It was honest, though. It wasn't
bullshit. Sure. No.
It was, yeah.
Were you a ska fan? Were you a guy?
I was very excited by that. And that was one of the earliest shows I saw at the Whiskey was the Specials and their first LA appearance. I don't know if first US, but it might have been. I don't know.
What year was
that? And I don't know if it was 79 or 80.
Yeah. It's probably the time that that Terry met Jane.
Could be, yes. Aww. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you read in the Times they were talking about like the making of Our Lips Are Sealed? And it came from like the letters that Terry was writing to Jane. It's kind of touching. Like she was like this teenage love that they both had and just his words. So it was kind of like unbeknownst to him that Jane created this Our Lips Are Sealed around these letters. He also sent her some lyrics, but she used a lot of that for Our Lips Are Sealed. And then, you know, he got credit for the song.
Yeah, it was February, 1980.
Yeah.
Yeah, the show. And the weirdest thing is I can remember what I wore because you were supposed to wear black and white. I probably heard about the show from Rodney on the Rock then, who was like my hipster whisperer who wasn't really whispering. He was on a microphone. Hey, Rock. You were supposed to wear black and white. So at that point, I was sort of like the rock and roll skateboarder guy, you know.
Right.
Wasn't really into like...
You're not going to suit up.
Haven't made the full transition yet. So I wore my white Levi cords and my Cheap Trick Dream Police shirt. It was a baseball shirt, but it was the black with white sleeves.
Nice.
And
it's a good look.
That was my ska two-tone look.
That's black and white.
But yeah.
Did
but
you wear a hat?
The pork pie hat?
No.
Yeah, I didn't have one.
Okay.
But, you know, I was thinking, you know, what's weird is that Cheap Trick, Rick Nielsen in particular, is really into that whole checkerboard aesthetic.
Too. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because two-tone came, Cheap Trick had, 76. They had that checkered look.
Yeah.
I don't know if two-tone picked up on that, if that was anything.
I doubt it was related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them iconic looks, like checkerboard. I forgot that Elvis Costello produced that first record.
Yeah, you know, I listened to that album recently. It's amazing. The first Specials album is just so great.
Right.
You know, you forget because, like I said earlier, we don't really listen to albums now.
But no.
We do sometimes. But, I mean, there are records that are really listenable, you know, from start to finish that are just amazing.
Because they're only 35 minutes long.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you get,
that could be
10 of the best songs. And
that could be.
Yeah.
But we do, we've just been programmed more recently to just, you know, your attention span, you know, click, click, click.
Right, right. But that album, it's so good. much energy and so good. And the thing that I love, I was a very big Terry Hall fan. I followed him through, you know, the Fun Boy 3 and then the Color Field. And then I kind of fell off a little bit. He did, I have some of those other records, but I wasn't into it as much. He did do the record Vegas, or have a band Vegas with Dave Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his delivery, like his vocal delivery was just, it was kind of dry and it wasn't punk, but it was just almost detached in a way, yeah, but telling a story, like, you know. Yeah.
It was like spoken word, like sometimes you feel like some of that spoken word, even though it's not spoken, just the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would bring out certain words.
Yeah.
But
he had attitude and he was depressed as hell. Yeah. once he got away from that. Well, the Specials slowed down. The Specials got really, you know, they started getting slower and moody and weird. And the one thing that I was thinking of, I didn't, you know, never got to talk to Dave, but they did have sort of a parallel existence because Terry and Lionel and Neville left the Specials to form the Fun Boy 3. And that was very similar to what Dave Wakeling and Rankin Roger did with General Public.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they sort of like updated, you know, and splintered. And
he also discovered or helped lift up one of your favorite bands, Bananarama.
Yes.
That was their first, as far as I know, that's their first recorded music ever released on It Ain't What You Do, It's the Way That You Do It, which was a cover. They did a lot of covers.
Yeah. He heard them and just like wanted to record with them immediately.
Yeah. And it was such a good, I thought it was such a good fit for that. You know, that I was a fan. I guess I was really a fan of Bananarama before I really paid close enough attention to Terry Hall's work with them.
Uh huh.
But now I hear that's, it. Of course. Yeah, now that's all I hear.
Yeah, that's who I, that's how I discovered, well, they discovered Bananarama and they brought
you discovered her
to the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like what they do with hip hop now. You know, that's, they're featuring Terry Hall featuring Bananarama.
And the Go-Go's sang backing vocals on the second, on more Specials.
Yeah.
I noticed the credit there. I've been going through slowly. I've been going through my Terry Hall vinyl. I have, you know, the LPs. I have 12-inch singles and 7-inch singles and some things overlap. And then I've been slowly entering things in. When I have an excuse to listen to a record, I've been entering them into Discogs.
Oh.
Smart. When I pull them off the shelf.
That's one thing I need to do.
Yeah.
I think cataloging everything.
I think I have like 100 something in there now. So
you're getting there.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like 0.01% of the way through your entire catalog.
Yeah, maybe. But Terry Hall. Yeah. Definitely RIP there. That hit me hard. I was... a big fan, and I really like the way he was such a restless artist, and he'd change things up. He didn't seem to just settle. He wanted to, you know, do things differently and change his musical style. Fun Boy 3 was just so bare bones.
Yeah, it was kind of an ironic name for a band that was not,
not fun.
No, they were not fun boys, but there were three of them.
The Lunatics Are Taking Over the Asylum.
Yeah, exactly.
So good.
God, listen,
I love that song. Yeah,
I was listening to it on my way over here. I just
go nuclear. The cowboy told us.
Yeah,
such a great lyric. Yeah, so many of them. Yeah,
and also, don't you just love hearing about artists that you like getting together? I mean, like with Jane and Terry, just I remember back then it making me happy and just loving the story.
Yeah,
I remember just being thrilled. I mean, since I was into the Go-Go's pretty early on, you know, even pre Kathy Valentine, I saw Margot playing bass.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, at the Whiskey?
Yeah, no. the first time I saw them was at UCLA. I don't know if it was Ackerman Hall, but it was just a big hall with no seats, and they opened for X.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
yeah. And, you know, I had the stiff single. And when I remember when the Go-Go's went to England to tour, and, you know, they were, you know, with, I think they toured with Madness and, you know, that connection with the Specials and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, and another weird thing that I just saw that I didn't know about at all that was kind of mind blowing. I tend to do it even if I don't have it. When somebody dies, if it's an artist that I like, I get obsessive and I sort of deep dive sure. into them. And I was watching this Specials concert the other day, a BBC thing. It's something like Rock Goes to College or something. And for an encore, the Specials did the song Madness. Never seen that before.
Crossover.
And it was, yeah, it was so interesting to me that, yeah, I just love that. I love that the, you know, the brotherhood that those bands had. It was, they were all in it together, and it was a beautiful thing.
You are currently enjoying Craig Rosen on the What Difference Does It Make podcast, but the time has come to take a break. And so that is exactly what we're going to do.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
And we're back on the What Difference Does It Make podcast with our guest, Craig Rosen.
Let's talk about Cruel World.
You want to talk about Cruel World?
Yes, you guys talk about Cruel World.
That was one of my biggest revelations of the year.
Well, the highlight of it was bringing Taco Bell into the Morrissey show.
Smuggling it in. Oh, I should have texted that to Dave Wakeling about that. I really liked his remark when he said that Hitler was a vegetarian. I really thought that was great.
Nice.
Did you remember that? Well, because that festival, Morrissey was one of the headliners, so there was no meat available except for the street dogs once you left. Once you left the venue. No, but I...
Because we were loaded up on Taco Bell.
Yeah.
You
snuck Taco Bell in?
Yeah, because we knew there was no meat, so we were like, all right, we gotta...
Well, I think we just figured it was just easier. It was Dave's fault. I'm blaming him.
Well,
and cheaper, for sure. No.
Yes, it was.
It was fine.
Yeah. Fortunately, security was lax, but
yeah.
Did you have to like put them in your pocket?
Well, I think I put it in like a cup or something. I stuffed my burrito inside. So
it was in my backpack.
I don't know. It was
okay. It was on Brookside.
But there was we saw a number of great acts. What was your highlight? So this was at the Rose Bowl. The golf course.
More specifically, the Brookside Golf Course that I have played. I haven't played well there, but I played there a few times.
You know why you haven't? Because I'm shocked that, I mean, it's a parking lot when there's a football game, and it's a concert venue in the summertime. And I can't imagine that they maintain this golf course. Must be horrible.
No, it's actually, it's a good course. It's difficult. Yeah. It's a good course. But last time I played there, it was really kind of a drag. And had I known this, I would not have played. But I think they had two holes closed. I think maybe 7 and 8. Because in that corner over there, that sort of far corner near the Rose Bowl, they had a German fest. I think it was...
Like a beer garden?
Little oom-pa-pa bands?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And they did some versions of other songs, too. I wish I could remember what it was. It was wild because we could hear loud and clear. It was a drag. You know, they gave us a discount, but it's just stupid to play like 16 holes.
I played 16 holes.
Two-hole discount.
The two-hole discount.
Yeah, it was just silly, but oh well.
So here we go. Okay, so golf. We were talking about Cruel World. All right.
Okay.
Cruel World.
I actually had a good point to make about Cruel World.
Oh, okay. So let's see.
My revelation of the year. Well,
you're going to sum up 2022. At the Cruel World Fest, what's your discovery?
For older music fans.
Okay.
Like us.
Okay. There was a time when I was younger and I had more attitude and I was less tolerant. If a band didn't have their original members, I would like dismiss them. I would just, F them. That's not the real thing. But now I realize that a lot of these bands are still great. They don't have to have the original members. And actually, a Cruel World performer who I interviewed later and talked to him about this, Clem Burke of Blondie, the great Clem Burke of Blondie, mm-hmm. he said, who actually plays, get this, he plays in a Blondie cover band.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Called in the UK, I don't think they come to America. And he said that some people aren't too excited about it. But he's Clem Burke, and I guess he can do what he wants.
Sure, why not?
But like Blondie, I think they only play in the UK. But he said, you know, it's really about the songs. It's about the music. And, you know, that's what it's all about. We're supporting that legacy that is the music of this artist. And that's what the artists at Cruel World, you know, The Church, The Damned, The English Beat, PIL, the Psychedelic Furs. I mean, you go on and on. Most of the bands.
Even Blondie. Who was playing bass? It was the Sex Pistols.
Glenn Matlock.
Matlock.
Yeah.
Making the band like that much cooler.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, Debbie and Clem Burke are like the only, longtime
Blondie
on stage, but they're still great. And the Butlers are the only people from the Psychedelic Furs, you know, but they're still great. I mean, Devo has more original members. You know, what happens, you know, people get sick, they lose it, or some people, you know, pass away, unfortunately. Others, you know, they don't get along. It doesn't make sense, you know. You know, you got to move on.
But you feel like hardcore music fans, might differentiate. Like, so we might know that it's not all the same members of an original band. Does an average music fan know anybody other than Richard Butler in the band?
No.
Nobody.
You're correct. It's just, yeah.
So if they're true to the music, then.
Yeah, it's just like the music heads know, oh, where's John Ashton? You know, he was the guitar player, you know. Unfortunately, John Ashton's sick and hasn't been with the band for a while. But.
Right. We saw Roxy Music. It was what a treat. What a thrill to see most of the band members. And I mean, it was three of the original members. You know, this is your only opportunity to hear this music.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be playing around again.
Much longer.
I'm almost 100% sure that they will not tour again. This was your last opportunity to hear this music. This original, you know, 50 years old, these songs that are 50 years old, played live by original members.
Yeah.
Wasn't the full band. You didn't get Brian Eno. We didn't, you know, did it make it any less thrilling to hear that? It was still great.
That would have been beyond thrilling.
Right. Well, sure. I loved it. We saw Alice Cooper. It's just Alice Cooper. Yes. It's not the original 70s band.
Yeah.
That band is very good.
Well, we saw the Go-Go's, but we didn't see Gina Knock.
I saw
the Go-Go's. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was Clem Burke was playing with them. Yeah, he said he was the best looking guy in the band, and that's what he told me. I asked him how was it playing with the Go-Go's.
I mean, he was great. He was perfect. Yeah. He was the perfect fit. If you were a moderate Go-Go's fan, and you didn't know, you know, well, I mean, I guess everybody knew the Go-Go's maybe.
Yeah, but the songs live on.
He's fabulous.
That's better. When I saw them 4th of July at the Hollywood Bowl, they had Gina's drum tech.
Oh, really?
Playing for her.
Yeah.
So at least you got a name player. No offense to the drum tech. I don't know your name. You're probably a wonderful, great person, but I don't know you.
And talented.
Yes. But you're not Gina or Clem.
No.
We saw Saucer Full of Secrets, which was just the drummer. It was not Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
This was the drummer, and we had Guy Pratt and Gary Kemp.
But you had all renowned musicians in their own right. So
right,
like
but it wasn't Roger Waters and David Gilmour, but this was our only opportunity to hear these songs.
Right.
That Saucer Full of Secrets is Pink Floyd music from 67 to 72, just before Dark Side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Roger Waters doesn't play this. You know, he did his show earlier this year, but, you know, it's all Dark Side and After and his solo stuff. So, I mean, these are songs that aren't played ever again. So that was thrilling to hear that stuff.
Are those Spandau Ballet guys?
Gary Kemp is in Spandau. Okay. And Guy Pratt was, he used to play with Pink Floyd.
He's played with everybody.
Yeah. Saucer Full of Spandau.
Yeah. Saucer Full of Secrets is a Pink Floyd. Were you a big Pink Floyd fan?
As a skateboarder,
it's hard to skateboard to that.
Not so much. I mean, I think when I got into them later through like the Paisley Underground.
Yeah.
And the Syd Barrett and the people covering Syd Barrett. And then, you know.
Yeah, that's what Gary Kemp was talking about. Like it used to be, that was like his secret fan. You know, he secretly liked the band.
Yeah.
You know, he's like into the Clash, but no one was into Pink Floyd until, you know, Paisley came around, you know, until like the 90s and Charlotte.
He was a closet listener.
Yeah. Suddenly Pink Floyd got cool in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
We did see another band with all but one of the original members, and the one that wasn't there was for a legitimate reason.
Oh, but the original. Wait. We went to a lot of shows, Holly.
Yeah, we did.
That's exciting. Yeah. That's good.
I'm jealous.
I know.
What?
Yes, Dave.
The band's so good, they named them twice.
Yep.
Duran Duran.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's Andy Taylor is sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is...
Yeah, right. That's shocking. That's terrible. I mean, it's weird. I mean, I really notice when somebody announces that they have that, and that's what John Ashton of the Psychedelic Furs also has prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Both of them sound like they're pretty far along, and it's pretty serious, which is tragic. So public service announcement, get your PSA checked.
Yeah. So yay
it's
you.
It's a blood test. Go to your doctor. If you're a man, I'd say at 50 and up, get, you know, when you have a physical, ask your doctor to give you a PSA test to make sure that, you know, you don't have any problems. And you can go on and live your life happily ever after.
And that's how yours was discovered, the PSA?
Yes. If you have an elevated PSA, then you have a biopsy, mm-hmm. and then that confirms it or doesn't. So, yeah.
Well, hey, here's to 2023. You're going to be, hey, all right.
Thank you. Yes.
Hey, yeah, yes, we should.
I'm finished with that and all good. And, you know, I was lucky. I know some people, I mean, I had surgery and, you know, that's no cakewalk. I mean, it's weird to say it wasn't that bad. And I can say that now. I mean, it wasn't that good either, but, you know, some adjustments and, you know, some things take a while to function again the way you would want them to.
Small price to pay.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Living. Right. You consider the alternative. Yeah, like, yeah, okay, yeah, this isn't so bad.
Yeah. Living is better. Yeah. Of course.
That's what I meant. Not to belittle it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 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 not at all. And I wasn't offended at all. But I was lucky also in terms of it was caught early. So I just had the surgery because I know some other people that had to have, on top of the surgery, then they had to have radiation and hormone therapy and everything. So not fun. And those guys, right. You know, I feel for John Ashton and Andy Taylor, who, you know, I think both of them are stage 4, which is pretty far along. So hopefully they'll come out the other side and be okay. Not to bring
I don't know how to follow that.
We can move on. Move on. Carry on. Hey, this is random, but...
what?
Unlike any of the other stuff
filling in,
about.
Filling in air while you're looking at Dave shoveling papers. And
yeah.
Back to Terry Hall. A weird thing. You know, before he died, this was a few months ago, my wife and I were watching The Patient on Hulu with Steve Carell, who plays a Jewish psychiatrist who's... Anyway, Steve Carell... looking really Jewish. I don't think he's Jewish, but with stubble and being held captive, reminded me of older Terry Hall. Look at the pictures. There's a slight resemblance there, but
okay.
Random thought of the day.
I'll have to have a closer look now.
Yeah.
But being abducted, that I didn't know that that was part of his story, that he...
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that either. Terry Hall.
He was abducted as a kid.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And there is actually, I think it's a Fun Boy 3 song. It was something I heard recently. He references that in the lyrics. But I didn't know that either until I read the obits.
You took me to France on the promise of teaching me French. We were told to assemble to meet up at 10. I was 12 and naive. You planned out our route. I sat in your car, my suitcase in the boot, on the M1 and the A1, until we reached over through passport control. You pulled your car over on the liner, we stood on the deck, we left port. My first time abroad, a school trip to France. Well, fancy that. Said, let's hit the sack. As I changed, I could feel your eyes watching me. I crept into bed, you pretended to read. The lights went out, I fell asleep. Woke up with a shock and your hands on me. I couldn't shout, I couldn't scream. Let me out, let me dream. I turned on to my side. I lay there and cried on my first night in France. Well, fancy that.
But he attributed that to his depression.
Yes. Yeah.
Or he attributed his depression to that.
Yeah, it was horrible. You know, we hear a lot about that stuff now. And I mean, you know, that unfortunately that is a reality. And I think that happens. Sometimes we hear about this thing and it does happen and it's horrible. There are some things we haven't talked about.
There's a lot of things
Costco,
we haven't talked about.
Dave wanted me to prepare something. I don't know. Costco. I'm like, what are we going to talk
did
about?
Did you have a Costco pick of the year?
Costco pick of the year. The Costco pick of the year. The most exciting development at Costco this year is the return of samples.
Yeah, that's true.
Post-pandemic.
And that's a good thing?
But yes.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I love samples. It's a good thing. Except when it's crowded, Because my last Costco experience, I can't say it was necessarily a good one. I went with Patty, my lovely wife, who I like spending time with. So it's nothing about her. It was kind of crowded. And there were samples, but I pulled this one move. I noticed there was a lot of people.
Are you a hoverer? Like, as they're preparing? Because I try not to, I don't want to be that guy, like, you know, just kind of watching as they slowly to the preparation.
Oh, no, you got to do laps.
You got to do.
Then they're gone again.
Yeah, you do laps, but also there's a lot of people on my last.
And you got to be subtle about it. You can't be, you know, like everyone's watch this guy. He's coming back.
He's going to do the laps. Why does that guy keep going in circles?
So this last experience.
Yeah, the last experience, I guess, you know, it was kind of spur of the moment, and I had to work later, so we were on the clock, racing against time, and I was more aware of that than Patty was. You know, she was looking at things. We were approaching the vitamin section, but there was a sample. It was like some biscuit or cookie type thing. And
Craig needs his biscuit, literally.
I know, you know, there are a lot of people, like, they have no spatial awareness at all. Mm-hmm. They just, like, park it and create a big traffic jam.
Yep.
It's nice to have it back. Before, it was like everyone had to be in a bubble. Now everyone kind of...
For not going to Costco.
I try to appreciate that. Okay, people are back to not being aware of their personal space.
Down with people.
But we were walking, and we were walking quickly, trying to dodge people, get to the vitamin section. And I did this, like, drive-by maneuver. I had one hand on the cart, grabbed the sample with the other hand, and did it. I thought it was clean. I thought it was a good move. I didn't think I'd get a yellow card.
All right.
But Patty told me that some woman said in Spanish to her mother or an elderly person, "Watch out for that guy."
Oh.
Like I was the maniac out of control. But I had full control of the cart. Yep. I didn't even see this elderly woman.
It does sound
she
like
wasn't
a
even in my vision.
It sounds like a yellow card to me.
Yes.
If someone had...
Fuck that.
No. Well, that's a red card for you.
And the other thing about Costco, it was quite an eventful visit, as it always is. Maybe it was more eventful because I wasn't alone, but I tend to search and destroy when I go alone. I have my
Iggy Pop style.
Yeah, I have my list. I don't spend a lot of time sort of browsing. I just get what I want and get out. But Patty, on spur of the moment, she saw these long down jackets. And she has a down jacket, but she thought she needed the longer one to keep her warmer. It was warm outside that day. So I was in shorts and I was still in my gym clothes. It was Wednesday. We went to yoga after we went to our yoga class. And I was freaking freezing. I was...
Buy a down jacket.
Actually, Patty said, well, put one on. And I didn't think that, like, I could pull off the long down jacket.
Oh, this is below the waist?
Yeah. One of those long
Yeah, long okay.
jacket that, coat things, yeah.
I think it's more for women.
But, yeah, it is more for women. But, you know, hey.
Or Craig Rosen.
We're in this a different age where, you know.
Yeah, you're a certain age. You don't care. What do you care?
Anything goes. But I did
temporarily put on this quilted Calvin Klein jacket just to keep me warm while I was near the freezer section. You know, I'm very impatient when I'm at Costco.
Are you?
Well, sometimes I am, I guess.
Really?
Maybe
you go to Costco, it's leisurely. You're doing laps.
Yeah,
clearly.
I'm in a rush.
Pissing people off.
Maybe I should have a gummy before I go or something. Mellow me out.
High advice.
All right, 2 hours and 40 minutes. Are we good?
Good luck with this.
Yeah.
Dave.
Have fun editing.
Yeah, I know. We didn't even talk about...
That Costco talk is going to end up on YouTube or in the trash, one of the two.
I think we got a good wrap-up of different things for this year.
Yeah.
I'm happy. You happy?
I'm happy.
That was fun. I love having Craig here.
Yeah.
He's the best friend of the show.
He is the best. We love having Craig. I wish he was here all the time sitting on the couch. Yeah. I think this is the first time we're actually talking about a guest
while they're still
sitting here. Happy New Year, Holly.
Happy New Year. year to you too. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, it's been a fun year. Talked to some great guests. Feel free to scroll through whatever episodes we have. Subscribe. We still have new episodes every Friday.
We do.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
We're on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. We're on social media. We're on all social media.
Yeah.
WDDIM Podcast and on YouTube at What Difference Does It Make Podcast.
We didn't even talk that some videos actually went viral. Like, thank you, Billy Idol, for going viral this past December.
Yeah, seems you guys really like Billy Idol.
Yeah.
Like, and Pet Shop Boys. Oh, and because this chat with Craig Rosen was so long, you'll see a lot of outtakes from that also. You can find it on social media at WDDIM Podcast. And at What Difference Does It Make Podcast on YouTube.
Okay, so until next week, next Friday, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.